Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Olicon. Oh my God, we're back. And we're back.
It's just us. Is that okay with you? It's just us. We've had
just
guests.
The world's greatest dads.
Yeah, I know. It's just, we're coming off. We've been making big inroads, audience. All of you. My many, many, many peoples out there. And it's been wonderful to connect with other dads. But right now we're back to the core, the root.
Do you know, Ollie, speaking of the beautiful community we're building, posted a clip from our show on the TikTok. And this guy commented, I don't know if you saw it. He said,
yeah.
Hold on. I'll just tell you what he said. He said, so good. It was so good.
This is going to be a doozy.
Yeah. Dead air. Oh, I can't find it. What's that? Oh, yeah. He said, just a couple of dudes not saying anything. Great work. And then I said, thanks for being part of our community. And then he said,
oh, wow.
Community, LOL. And I hearted it.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, what we're here for. And I think that really just sums up being a dad in real life, is that you will be judged, you will not be prepared, you're not going to live up to that Michael Landon Little House on the Prairie, Pa shot the bear and we survived the winter. I might be just taking it back too far in the past for you, Neil.
Was he a good dad? Do we like Michael Landon as a TV dad?
You know, these were the days before the truth could come out, so we don't know. You know, I mean, he wasn't caught with, you know, he wasn't caught red-handed with blood on his hands.
I'm not talking about the actor. I mean the character was that's like the archetype of like a great man, right? That's like the
Yeah, I mean, you know, one has to say, like, did he share the workload in a... Here's the thing. You can't really judge him by contemporary standards because he was from a different era, you know?
Sure.
And then
sure.
You have to ask yourself, like, how much of a prototype can one be if you're stuck in outdated thinking, you know?
Right.
Do you like that? I just unpacked... I sound smart for a second. For one second. Now, well, I'm going back to being that guy.
We're watching, and when I say we're watching, my wife is watching, and I sit there, The Gilded Age on HBO. And, it's all about Rockefeller, and we're building the trains, and they have typhus, and we're going to treat them with hot water and cough syrup. But it's really cocaine. I don't know. But, But this is the 1800s. I don't know, when was the Gilded Age? I don't know. It's like they're all wearing costumes and they shoot it in New York. But so they always address, it's a diverse cast, and so they address the racism. And there was this episode where this white doctor wouldn't treat this young black woman, and so they called her parents in, her mother played by Audra McDonald, and then they get a black doctor to help treat her and she's okay. But then on the car ride back, Audra McDonald's like, well, it was so nice of those white folks to even just open the door and let us in their home. And I'm like, the bar is so low in the Gilded Age.
You know?
I mean, that's how they felt, I guess. These characters, probably written by white people.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, that's a given. It's the Gilded Age. I think, my guess is, you know, people will be quite content talking about drama that's happening right now on dem streets. Versus, you know, let's take it back to before when things weren't an issue, like even having the option to see a doctor if it's of a different race. Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about it, Neil. I'm like, it's real tempting these days. There's so much news out there where I want to like break out and say something. I saw one of your old pals quietly step away. I'm not going to name names, but he's someone that we would have worked with on the boob tube. And he very much said, I don't dive into the politics stuff, which, you know, I understand that because, you know, if you're going to get into something, you have to own it, especially when you have a large scale audience. But I'm kind of like it.
Vince Vaughn?
Not the Vaughn. Not the Vaughn. Closer to home. Closer to home.
Chandler?
No. Way close. No. Not even close. Not even close. He has an accent. That's all I'll say. That's it. I'm going to leave it at that. But I'm going to bring it back to me because I can be responsible for me. It's a very
tough lesson,
time.
By the way, to teach your kids. You're only responsible for your own actions. You can't control other people's actions, but you can control your reaction.
Yeah, that's good. And, you know, speaking of my reaction, tempting myself to action. Yeah, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. Is it time for Ollie, come on, to jump in the big pool of contemporary issues, current affairs?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a mess out there. I think they've been waiting for your take.
I know, but the problem is that I'm just not. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the room and I don't have the solution. So, you know, but it's so weird because you start to see it, the cracks in the facade, when it's not just like, hey, how much cheese is in this mac and cheese? When someone's like, thanks for saying something. And I'm like, okay. And you like, everyone likes a thank you. But then it's like, well, you're also happy that I'm echoing your point of view too. You know what I mean? It's such a catch-22. People just want to be validated. Let's validate dads.
Sure,
I think there are dads out there that are feeling all kinds of things. And we care, even if we are just two guys talking about nothing. For the first time, we were close to saying something. I was close to saying something.
Yeah. Yeah. No, don't worry, Daniel from TikTok. We're not going to get substantive. We're going to stay surface so as not to alienate anyone from any walk of life. We are toxically positive about being dads, and other things can wait because we have children to raise when we're not talking to each other on this podcast platform.
Yeah. And we're so good at not getting into anything that we consider ourselves the greatest at it, you know? I think you and I, we both come from a place of like, let's just keep it friendly. Let's avoid confrontation. Like that's genuine. That's genuine.
It's harder for me. It's a lifelong journey that I've been learning. My wife has helped me with that. Sometimes you just go, hey, how you doing? If you run into somebody who you detest, you know, I tend to wear my emotions on my sleeve. So my default setting is to just be like, you know, stink face or and my wife is always like, what are you doing? Just be like,
at Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Like, hey, hi, how are you? And then just walk away. Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Do you have a resting bitch face? Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's great. When you shift to the smile, the car salesman smile, if you will, it's quite drastic. I've been accused of it. I remember when I was like listening to someone in a scene on Cheap Eats, and the field director, she's like, "What's up? Why are you looking like that?" And I'm like, "I'm listening." Should I be like, "Yeah"?
Pour the radio. You gotta be.
This ain't radio.
Well, you know what's funny? We watch a lot of morning TV because we're trash. And like the Today Show, they'll be like, "And Channing Tatum's here," or like, you know, and Scarlett Johansson, and like they cut to them in the studio, and they're just like, because it's like they're just standing there, and you realize how weird it is to just see people not performing for you all the time,
right?
And so suddenly. You're like, oh, they're so angry. No, they're just existing. They're just being where they are physically standing and not constant. But then as soon as the camera comes, you see that switch of.
You need Channing Tatum. It's a marathon out there, and you want to have the kind of like, you know, three-quarter smirk like, you know, I'm sure, and this is just something that I know just brings you endless joy. You remember the show Saved by the Bell? Do you remember the show Saved by the Bell?
Do I remember the show? I mean, I was raised by the show.
Totally. So, years ago, when I was working in the lower rungs of Hollywood, the commercial production scene, I was sitting around with one of the more kind of successful line producers, this guy, Yuri. Yuri was kind of the top choice. So if you're crewing up a commercial and you've got a big budget and a director that maybe even requires a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of a soft touch, you know, because directors can be a bit touchy in the film world, you'd want to get Yuri. Yuri's the man, right? He would wear suits to the pre-production meetings, like when no one else was wearing suits, nobody. He just was the man, right? And you always pictured Yuri as a guy who's just sharp and on top of it. And then one day, his wife, who worked with him, was like, "Well, you know, Yuri was on Saved by the Bell." She whips out the old laptop, fires up a very old version of YouTube, buffering YouTube era, like maybe 05, 06, I don't know. And they play a scene from Max's Cafe. I don't know if you're familiar with Max. He was a chef, you know, he was at the cafe.
Magician who couldn't cut it, so he's kind of, he opened up a...
I never thought of him as a failed performer who worked in the restaurant industry, but in some ways, that not the hardest thing for any script doctor to come up with. So we're at Max's, and, you know, it's like, you have the dining room and the tables. And then there was like kind of a tiered up area. And there was just like these bars. Like, you know, it's like your stand guardrails or whatever. And people are standing. And they play this video. And for some reason, it's a serious moment where everyone's kind of staring it down. And the camera zooms in. And it doesn't zoom in on Yuri. But it gets close enough where you're like, that's Yuri. And Yuri's in the background. He's a background actor. Like, in high school, just like, that's how you know this guy's going to be in the biz. You know, he's like, what are you doing after school? I'm going to work on set. I'm going to be an extra on Saved by the Bell. I'm in a scene at Max's diner. And then he's just there, and he's just like this, like... And I'm like, Yuri's acting? You know? I'm like, just hang on a sec. He's a producer, line producer, you know? But a suave guy. He's got a personality. But I'm like, Yuri's acting. And this is his acting. You know, he was just like, you know, it's like he's cool. He's Bayside High. I'm at Bayside High. I'm at Max's, and I'm watching something go down between probably Zach and Slater, because that's what the whole show was about, really. It was about their beef. It was
about their romance, right? Zach and Slater.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's, to me, it was just a matter of, you know, jock versus prep, you know? Jets versus Sharks, but retold in the 90s setting. But, you know, there was Yuri in the background, just like,
yeah. Isaac, will you get the Yuri clip?
We had dreams of an intern. Whew, wow. Once again, something that had nothing to do with anything that we are both interested in. So
Daniel from TikTok writes, please stop doing this podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Ollie, the mailbag is so full right now because we've been so busy. Great. Talking to guests. Great.
Yeah.
That we've neglected the That's reason true. We did this in the first place, which is to get away from our families. No, I'm kidding. To answer questions, offer advice, offer community that we're building for other dads like Daniel from TikTok, and just kind of, you know, wax poetic on what it means to be a dad, the complicated realities and difficult quandaries we find ourselves in. So let's read some questions, okay?
Sure.
Miles from Nashville writes, Ollie, how do you handle it when your kid just isn't good at something they love? My daughter dreams of being a singer. She practices every day, pours her heart into it, and bless her heart, she sounds like a hyena in pain. I don't want to crush her spirit, but I also don't want to be the dad on American Idol saying she's got so much potential while the judges are laughing in her face. How do you keep it honest and loving, but tell her the truth at the same time?
Well, you know, I think, first of all, we'll keep the hyena comment between just us. Just us right here. You know, here's the beauty of this one. Just coming up with some great dad advice, and this is just someone who's had a pretty, so far, successful run raising a now 13-year-old, is that life is always there. Life and reality will present themselves, and your kid will understand and get it. And I think what's important is to, with anything, is to make sure that you have joy in what you're doing and keep doing it if you still get joy from it. And I think it is important to understand that, you know, there are people in this world that are going to be, you know, someone's going to be, if you're on the athletic field, someone's going to be faster. Someone's going to jump harder. Someone's going to have more experience. And someone's not going to have more experience. Someone's not going to be as fast as you. And, you know, and then I always think about the old line from Creed, Father Time is undefeated, right? So that's very sports related. But I think it also comes down to any kind of activity one measures in performance is that, you know, like there's a lot of great people and some people have greatness acknowledged to them because maybe it was the right place in the right time. You know what I mean?
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Maybe they just saw something and the world needed it. Some people just have an incredible voice and, you know, you don't have to be the best at everything or to enjoy it or find value from it. And I think it's important that if you focus on making sure that if your kid loves to sing, they keep loving to sing, then that's what's important, you know, versus finding some measure of success. Because even if your kid was lights out, there's so much you still can't control about it anyways, you know? And I say that as someone that went through theater school only to have life give me the mountaintop that was doing a show where I ate food. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to be Al Pacino in college. Okay? You know? Like, and maybe I'm closer to Al Pacino now, as he's into his Twilight era. But, yeah, you know, I just think life and reality will set in. Your kids will understand that, too. And your job as a parent is to encourage them to find joy in things that they do that are constructive. So, you know, there you go. Just keep finding the fun. And, you know, if it makes your daughter happy, then it should be making you happy. And any ideas of chasing America's Got Talent, you know, that's almost a different thing entirely. Like, there is nothing wrong with your kid singing in a school play, you know, or at a house of worship, or a basement, or a karaoke bar.
Beautifully said. I was going to say I would encourage her to start writing music, because if you're the songwriter, you don't have to be that good. You ever heard of this guy, Robert Zimmerman?
No.
Got a pretty terrible voice. Bob Dylan?
Oh.
That's Bob Dylan.
No way. I should have watched the movie. I've just had enough Chalamet. Two Dune movies was enough.
No, I got you. I mean, he's got a terrible voice, right? You know, people say Taylor Swift, you know, love her music. You know, she's not Whitney Houston. You know, she's no Mariah Carey. But
right.
She tells stories. She writes interesting music, tries different things, and she's a pretty good singer. So,
you know,
if your daughter can just be pretty good, but she's writing songs.
Yeah. And I guarantee you, Taylor Swift is someone who, you know, it's funny. That was someone that, like, you know, when she came out, it was just, you know, and this is not a dig. It's just the truth. Not exactly my cup of tea, right? Not exactly my cup of Earl Grey. But her resilience is addicting and inspiring. I mean, no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Like, she got trashed. She went through the ringer and she never gave up on herself. And then, you know, it's also pretty amazing to be like, yo, she's a billionaire despite all that. Like, she gets so much shade thrown at her, obviously. And she's also crazy successful. So, you know, all of a sudden, like, yeah, you know, if you look at it from one singular thing, but there's so many ways to, like, measure how someone is great and how they can make you feel great. And to get hung up on just one element of it, that ain't the whole picture, you know? That ain't the whole picture.
Yeah. So, Miles, be more supportive, huh?
Yeah. You know? Last time I checked, you've got Taylor Swift on your hands. Sorry, your daughter's going to be a billionaire. I'd be riding that one out, baby. Oh, I'd love nothing more. To just be like,
you may end up having a, you know, Rob Schneider, L. King dynamic. You know about that? You know,
Rob Schneider.
She's a musician, L. King, and singer, songwriter, very popular. Father's Rob Schneider.
Whoa!
I don't think they get along so well. Yeah.
Wow, Rob Schneider. I just, you know, I never thought he was Deuce Bigalow, right?
He was.
I just never thought Deuce Bigalow would be, you know, a semi voice for a conservative movement. Like, if you were to tell me any of these things would come to pass, I'd be like, no, that's not logical. But yeah. Deuce Bigalow,
you never know how things are going to end up. It's like, you know, I remember hearing a story about a couple guys over at the water cooler in the 40s. They were like, "Did you hear about Adolf? Oh, the guy who." Yeah, he's gotten into some real bad stuff. They're like, well, he never finished art school. The guy from art school?
That's
Adolf
true.
From art school?
It's true.
You know, like, people take weird paths, you know? You never know how they end up.
You know, it is funny. Like, yeah, it didn't all start out that way. I mean, and you know, for pretty obvious reasons, but a guy who wanted to be a painter ended up basically taking a name off the shelf. Like, that name is off the shelf.
Yeah. How close do you think you can get? Because Adolphus, you can't even say Adolphus, right?
You know, it's funny. When you say Adolphus, Adolf is so removed from me that I'm just like, is that like a type of dolphin? Like, it's like you're saying, oh, it's Adolphus. And I'm like, is that like a weird dolphin?
Yeah.
Is it a dolphin that wanted to be a painter but went a different direction?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there, I mean, I wonder if there were other famous Adolfs, if maybe it could, you know, he was, there just weren't any, you know, anybody of enough note to help the name stay alive.
Yeah. It's a lot of crazy stuff happening right now. I you know what? I almost feel like I'm doom scrolling TikTok these days right now, even just kind of going through this stuff, unpacking this stuff. It started out, we're talking about a guy worried his daughter's not that good of a singer. Maybe she'll get better. Maybe, you know, like, look, I mean, we haven't even brought up AI. I mean, if she's, we all know some artists don't sound great live. I mean, who knows? Maybe AI will turn this frown upside down. You know
what's funny? I was talking to someone about this with, you know, the whole doom and gloom catastrophizing about AI, and they were like, you know, do you remember the T-Pain auto-tune thing? And everything was like, oh, it's auto-tuned. It's auto-tuned. You know, it's not even their real voice. I mean, like, you know, essentially, like, there are all these new technological tools come out and people feel like they're masking the actual true, raw, authentic skill. But I think the reality is they're all going to continue to exist, right? Like, you know, it's going to make raw just some, you know, if anything, your daughter may be the most valuable of all, because to just hear a raw, unedited, terrible singer is going to be kind of special. You know, because everyone's going to be so good and sanitized and sound the same. Maybe that will be her niche. It's like when ASMR came out, you know, like people are like, oh, I just want to hear people crunching into my ear. I think maybe bad singers are the future. That's going to be special.
You know, I'll just say this. If you're consistent, the algorithm will pick it up. And, you know, as long as she's consistently bad at, you know, the hot hours of 8 a.m., 12 p.m., 6 p.m., across all platforms, I do believe we're looking at the future of music.
Yeah. So anyway, Miles, we've spent enough time with you. You're welcome.
Thanks,
for
Miles.
The free advice, and be a better dad. Be the world's greatest dad. Come
on. Yeah. You're getting there. I mean, obviously you're here, so you're getting there. That's the promise.
Yeah. All right, Ben from Sacramento. Ben from Sacramento writes.
Mm-hmm.
Ready for Ben? Hey, yeah. Ollie. My teenage son is deep into the vintage sneaker game. Every allowance dollar goes to shoes he refuses to wear because, quote, they're an investment. Meanwhile, I'm rocking the same pair of New Balances from 2016. I want to support his passion, but at what point do you step in and explain that most investments don't come with shoelaces?
I mean, yeah, that's... Look, that's a tricky one. Part of you is you want to indulge in your son's passions, right? Absolutely true. Now, can you parlay that passion into the broader picture, which is finance? So, case in point, and I may have brought this up already, but, you know, we have a friend. Their son is really into Pokemon cards, like to the point where he's a notorious saver. He saves all the money that he gets from his grandparents and all that stuff, and he buys expensive cards, and then, you know, that are worth a lot. And then we actually were all in Japan together, and he was like going to town, you know, because he understands the game. Now, in addition to all that, the mom is telling us, yeah, like, you know, we think that he would be great with finance. Like, this is something that would be, you know, should be explored a bit. So there, he's in high school and he's going to go to a summer program at a college and where finance is a study. So I think it's just about kind of, you know, acknowledging your son's passions. It's good to have passions, you know, that's what makes us tick, right? And then go, okay, how else can we apply this? Because, you know, like, maybe this is the thing, is he doesn't have to stop loving shoes or collecting shoes. What he can do is understand that same way of going, wow, I love these things. They have value. There's other people like me who value these things. There's other ways to kind of maybe turn that into a profession or expand your view of it at the very least. So, you know, I think, yeah, you know, it's, I'm of the mindset, and maybe it's just because I'm not that kind of guy. I am not a captain of industry, Neil. I'm not a alpha personality. I'm not Tony Soprano, you know? But, you know, those opportunities where you kind of can just bring awareness, you know, to someone and just go, oh, yeah, here, check this out. Maybe that's the way to go. But, you know, I feel like maybe I was raised by some old school parenting that would say this is foolish or you're watching TV, that's a waste of time. And maybe something can be right and wrong at the same time. Man, I think my dad did have a point. But the truth is, years later, when I ended up as a guest on a Food Network show with Mr. Bobby Flay, my dad, who would tell me TV's a waste of time and he would never pay for cable TV, eventually did get cable TV. And when he saw me on the show, you know, for weeks after, he would get phone calls and he'd say, oh yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah called. And they said they saw you on this show. Yeah, apparently they watch this network all the time. I had no idea. I was like, yeah, Dad, like, not everyone watches the PBS NewsHour in 60 minutes and calls it a day, you know? And
certainly maybe not anymore with the defunding of public television.
I know. You know, it's funny. I have friends who work for the PBS station here, and believe it or not, Neil, the fires of TV still burn in me, and I've been talking to them about shooting a little sizzle, you know? It'll end up being something that we all have to find the money for, but that's just the way the world is, right? But they go to PBS, and I was like, what's up? What's going on? I'm seeing the doomsday. I looked at the TikTok. It's sad out there. And they're like, hey, look, until we hear otherwise, it's still business as usual. So, I don't know. You know, maybe. I don't want to say don't believe the hype. I think we should be worried, but Sesame Street. And didn't Netflix bail out Sesame Street?
Yes.
So, there's that. There's that. But well, back to really sneakers.
Cool. What's really cool about Netflix, what Netflix did is, you know, when HBO Max or Max or whatever.
Now it's HBO Max again.
Yeah, they're back. They figured it out. They spent a lot of money figuring that out. They were like, yeah, we'll take on Sesame Street. And then the poor kids, they can watch it a few months later, but Netflix is doing something really cool. And they are going to allow new episodes to run concurrently on public television. So if you don't pay for Netflix, but you just have a TV and you're 3 years old, you can get your new, brand new fix of Sesame same day. Which, you know, big ups, Ted Sarandos. And big downs, David Zaslav.
Yeah, you heard it here first, folks. But you know what? I'll say this.
Zaslav isn't a nice person.
Oh, hey, I don't know the man.
No, he's great. We love David, friend of the show. Great dad. Great detective, yeah.
Yeah, great. Yeah, he's definitely. Yeah, totally.
You will be missed.
Yeah, I mean, he treats his shareholders like children. Oh,
hey,
there you go. There's a zinger. But I will say this. A, good on Netflix for making that stuff accessible. And, you know, earlier I was like, oh, I don't want to get on a soapbox, Neil. Should I dive into this? But the one thing I will say, what I will defend or get into something is I absolutely believe in defending PBS. There is no freaking way on planet Earth Sesame Street should not be available for free to kids. Come on.
It's not going to work for David. Sorry. It's not going to work for David.
David is, let someone else do the right thing. You know, you don't have to. Look, here's the big lesson, dads. We don't all have to do the right thing, but somebody will. So why not be that guy who's going to do the right thing? So if your daughter's a bad singer, don't tell her. Just keep taking her to lessons. And consider the fact that, you know, when you were bringing up songwriting, how about the guy from Bleachers? Had a good singer. I enjoy his singing, but even more talented as a songwriter. Maybe you'll find yourself going, hey, you want to be on stage? You think you're an Al Pacino? Why don't you try out doing a podcast about being a dad? That might be clearly where we've landed ourselves, you know?
The singer from Bleachers, Jack Antonoff.
Jack.
Is that who we're talking about?
Yes.
He was from my town. I had math with him my freshman year.
Wow.
This is my claim to fame. He sat in the corner of the class, sleeping on his desk. Okay? He was so tired, I imagine, from all the punk shows. Meanwhile, I'm studiously, you know, trying to learn trigonometry or whatever.
Yeah.
And look at us now, huh?
Yeah.
Should have paid attention in math class, Jack.
You might be
hosting a podcast with Ali Khan.
You're looking at a guy that received acting coaching from Sterling K. Brown. But some things don't rub off. Some things don't come off osmosis.
I believe, you know? Tina Fey has the line, talent is not sexually transferable. Not that you slept with Sterling K. Brown. I think she was, you know, talking about the people that...
I don't think anyone would ever confuse that from ever happening, you know, in any dimension. In any... yeah, even with the Infinity Gauntlet, it wouldn't happen. It would not happen, you know.
Before we get off Sesame Street, have you heard my Elmo?
Let's hear it.
You know, I don't get to do it that much anymore because my kids have kind of outgrown it.
Yeah, that's part of life, right?
Yeah. All right, here we go.
I love you, Ali Khan.
Okay, couple things. Very, very good. Let's just, you know, for sure, without doubt. The other one is, and I understand you have to commit to it, listening to on the AirPods was quite strong. But then I also caught something else, and maybe this is just a truth about Elmo, but because you're not a red Muppet, right? You know what I mean? You're not. You are human, which makes you humanoid. And then the breathing, actually, part of me was like, oh my god, this sounds like when I'd watched some of those newer ones, you know, Rise of the Planet of the Apes, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, and you kind of hear like the ape creatures be like, and I was like, wow, Elmo has like kind of ape vibe, you know?
I mean, we all evolved from apes, Ollie. Don't you think Elmo, you think Elmo doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
What are you saying here? Elmo's not a person.
It's weird. It's weird. Elmo, like, you know, you're like, where did Elmo? You know, I just take Elmo to be Elmo, but then hearing you do Elmo convincingly made me realize, wow, maybe that's or maybe the Planet of the Apes are all just doing Elmos.
Elmo, you know, it's decent. It does hurt the throat. You know, I don't know that I could do it, you know, 8 hours a day on set, but I could do it for 30 seconds maybe. But my wife was like, you know, if you had worked a little harder on impressions,
mm-hmm.
you could have been like a Matt Friend of your generation. Do you know that guy? He does a lot of impressions.
Yeah, he did really well. So I'll tell you something about that. Someone else I went to high school with who is in the entertainment world. He did fantastic impressions. He started doing impressions in high school. He did impressions of teachers of our school. He, at 14 years old, he did a very convincing Johnny Carson, right? His name's Mike McCray. Yeah, in fact, he's on our list. He's on a list of guests, if you will. That's how I met our good friend Matt Bearden. Was through Mike McCray, stand-up impressionist, and he did a show on TBS back in like 2010s called Frank TV. He was on Frank TV. So, you know, it's interesting because when you bring up the new guy, Matt Friend, is that it? Matt Friend?
Yeah, he's great. He does Howard Stern and Andy
he
Cohen.
He just blew, yeah. I think like there was a true time and place. And I think this is interesting to think about now. Once again, more dad-related topics here, but it's amazing how stand-up comics have blown up in the short-form video world era that we are in. And because I'm telling you, this guy Mike McCray, his real name's Charlie Kennedy, but stage name. I respect stage names. I have one, you know. Mike McCray, it's just interesting. I'm like, man, dude, You do great stuff too. Now, that's not to take away from Matt Friend's range. I think he has a lot going for him. I think he is like a fantastic. He has a presence when he's not doing other impressions, which I think really positions himself quite well. But yeah, it's amazing how this goes back to the girl who maybe isn't a Whitney Houston level singer yet. Is that sometimes it's all about the right guy. Timing's big. You know what I mean? Sometimes the stars align. The stars have to align, you know?
Yeah, if you believe in stars.
Yeah, not anymore. Not in this cable era. Stars is toast.
We're talking about stars with a Z, STARZ.
We always were. We always were. That's always a show. You're like, oh, this looks pretty good. And I'm like, it's on Stars. I'll never see it.
I'll never, stars is like the is stars is to HBO, I think, what cracked is to Mad. You remember Cracked?
Yes.
It
Sadly,
was like
yes.
just a little bit. You're like, oh, okay, Cracked. Yeah, it's kind of like Mad Magazine. I'll read this, I guess. Sure.
You're talking to a guy who was on Cooking Channel.
Yeah, that's right. I know. Can we call you Food Network's Ali Khan, or do we have to call you Cooking Channel's Ali
Well, this
Khan?
is the problem, is there is no cooking channel, you
Yeah.
know? Like, the website's down. Hey, you know what? That's life. That's
Hey,
life.
you know when I was a kid, this was one cool thing. I mean, my parents did some cool things. But my dad, he knew how much I loved Mad Magazine, and we went to the office in New York City. We went to the Mad Magazine, and it wasn't like it's just a bunch of people like drawing stuff, but it was kind of neat. Cool story, bro.
Did you see? You read that one on my face. I was like, this
Whoa.
one time, me and my team, we went to an office. They
Can't
were
all be
working.
winners. Did you ever, well, your dad was a doctor. Did he take you to the hospital ever, or?
You have no idea. It's some of the most boring moments of my life. Whenever I think about letting my kid just like be on his own, I mean, he's 13, my God. But just like letting him play or even doing stuff, like I was left. I was either basically unattended. Because look, and this is stuff that we don't dive into often, but very comfortable saying it now. My mom was schizophrenic. You know what I mean? A very taboo thing culturally, not really talked about. And she was on medication. She might as well have been out. Thankfully, I didn't burn the house down or hurt myself. And there were a lot of times where, my dad would be like, "Okay, just come with me, while I work." Now think about it. It's a Sunday. I'm anywhere from 5 to, I don't know, 8 years old, and I go to a hospital. And I stand in a gift shop for about 3 hours waiting for my dad. Maybe I talk to someone, but I'm literally just pacing around, wandering a hospital, looking at the same, like, romance novel book covers. I mean, this is so weird. I'm literally, and I'm just like bored out of my skull. So I did go there. I couldn't go with him because he's like, "No, you can't come with me. I have to see patients." It was horrible. I mean, so mind-numbingly bull. Like, just thinking about it makes me want to like grab my kid and take him to the movies. Like, it was painful.
It
Very,
is
very
interesting, and
painful.
not to get on my soapbox about boredom and the absence of it, and kind of like with the screens and just our culture. But it is interesting, right? Because it's like we have this weird relationship with boredom. I remember also like running errands, with my mom, or just not having things scheduled for me and having to get on my bike and just go somewhere, find something to do, and I do feel like that is, I think just less common, today is unscheduled time. I do, even as an adult now, when I don't have something in my ears, like a podcast or just something to watch, sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm alone with my thoughts. And you think about stuff, and it actually is helpful. You need that downtime. You need that time where you aren't scheduled, where you're not watching something and feeding your attention to someone trying to sell you something. And it's, I think our kids need more boredom. I think boredom is good.
Yeah, I don't know. I see, I was an only child too. So then you always have that element as well. Look, you know, I don't know your current screen policy. It took a while before we got into it. Really did not grow up with video games or anything like that. It took the freaking pandemic. It took the pandemic to break the, to shatter, put a chink in her armor and be like, okay, fine. Well, we took like an old Switch or whatever. And then eventually ground was given and now he's got a freaking gaming laptop. He's got he has got so much stuff and he's not even like exceptional compared to, you know, other people have every freaking thing imaginable. I just am like, man, like, go and enjoy it. I don't know, you know, and hopefully, like, you'll take some time off to unplug. I've noticed that here and there. You know, one time he wasn't playing on the computer, like on his laptop, and Brearley's like, I think he broke the laptop. That's why he's not playing it. And it was like, she was like waiting, like, ooh, we'll see when he comes up and tells the truth. And it turns out he actually was just not doing it. He's like, yeah, I'm just not going to play it right now. Because he loves this thing so much, it's insane, you know? Or he just enjoys it. It's a fantastic machine. So, I don't know. Gaming, boredom. I don't know. Boredom happens. Boredom happens even... Don't you get bored with stimulus? I get bored with stimulus. I'll literally sit there and be like, I gotta stop looking at this damn phone. You know? Mm-hmm. I'm not working on World's Greatest Dad podcast. I need to put the phone down. Just put it down.
Yeah. No, it's nice to just exist. It's hard. It's weirdly... I know there have been a lot of, like, books and articles and stuff about it. The, like, how to be alone, how to do nothing, kind of... ethos, and it's odd. It's like meditation. It's like, how can you teach someone to just be still? But it's hard because I think we're so conditioned to just be moving, be doing something, but you know that it's hard to sometimes just be just still.
You watch a lot of long form. Like, you seem to be very good about that.
And I do, but you know, I have always got the phone in hand. It's like I'm got the multiple screen thing going on. Which, you know, we have friends who are like big movie aficionados that will like go to screenings and theaters. And I will say, like, if I'm at a theater, which is rare, usually it's a kid's movie. I try not to be on my phone. Isn't that weird? I'm like, I try not to, you know, scroll while I'm in a movie theater.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, I mean, you're paying to be there. You're there for the experience. But it is so rare that we're not just constantly glued to that, that buzzing.
So yeah. The movie theater we go to, they make you turn the phone off. Or they, yeah, silent, do not disturb. And my kid, the last time we saw, oh, back to being World's Greatest Dad podcast, kid movie we saw recently. But, you know, kid enough for a 13-year-old or not too kid movie enough for a 13-year-old. How to Train Your Dragon live action. Okay. And you know, he's sitting next to me. He likes to sit in the middle. Sometimes me and Brearley are like, oh, looks like we can't just have our moment. He's got to be in the middle. He's in the middle and he's like, turn that phone off. Don't look at that phone. You know, he was very... He's like a monk in the movie theater, very disciplined. Saw that movie. Don't know if you've seen the animated version, but we saw the live action. Can't say I recommend it. And the streak of a Gerard Butler movie being essentially not good continues. And so is my streak of seeing Gerard Butler movies, because I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I keep watching this guy in movies.
Yeah, I mean he's great. I don't know. I don't have anything negative to say about him. He seems like a wonderful lad. Lass.
So I think he'd prefer lad. I don't know him well. I will tell you this though, my little Gerard Butler story. How we're just 2 degrees away in of separation. So this was when I was doing the Spring Baking Championship, when I was hosting the first time I hosted Spring Baking Championship. And, like, you know, this is a show that's, you know, got a bit of a budget, got a bit of a production scale. And first time I actually had someone who was like, you know, I was in wardrobe. I was like, wow, like, who are you people? Usually I'm just putting on a shirt in a Gap, taking a selfie and sending it to someone going, is this okay? Can you see the logo? So they're dressing me. And the person, you know, she's like proper film crew person, works on things like movies with Gerard Butler. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, this should fit you pretty good. And then for some reason, she goes, yeah, this is great. I mean, you know, thank you for, you know, giving us your measurements and things like that. And she goes, yeah, it's hard working with some people like Gerard Butler. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And she goes, well, he likes to drink. And I'm like, okay. And apparently, like, you know, he's in these movies, especially like 300, where part of the package why they offered Gerard the role, the big check, is because he's big, ripped dude, right? But, and I learned this myself, when you get to a certain level of conditioning, and you want to maintain that, you have to really be on it. You know what I mean? And you'll feel like that. Oh, yep. I've been on vacation for 2 weeks, for example. Or yeah, it's been quite a weekend. And it, you know, those workouts have to kick back in. And, you know, so I guess he'd wear a spandex suit so he could fit into the clothes. I was like, damn, dude, didn't know that. And I think at that point I'd only seen Olympus Has Fallen, you know, and I'm sure I saw 300 as well. He couldn't have been wearing the fan. I'm sure for 300 he was peak. And then to maintain 300, though, I mean, they named a whole workout called the 300 workout. I mean, that's hard to do. You know, you get older. My God, look at Russell Crowe. Dude, what? You know, old Russ. It's life.
Father Time. The last movie that we saw with the kids was Elio.
I don't know that one.
Yeah, perhaps you haven't heard about it. The worst box office opening for Pixar ever, apparently.
Really? Yeah. Sounds like it. Okay.
However, delightful film. And actually, I think a really great movie for fathers and just about fathers and sons. So Elio is this kid who is an orphan. His parents died in an accident, and he's being raised by his aunt, who is like kind of high up in the military and does stuff with space, and he's obsessed with aliens and he's obsessed with space and he wants to go to space, and wouldn't you know it, he gets abducted by aliens and he is stoked, okay? And he's kind of finding his way in this what do they call it, the not the universe, it's like some other, you know, universe they're in, and he meets all these, you know, cool colorful characters, and he tells them that he's the leader of Earth, so they want to induct him into their universe. And but his whole thing is, it's really a story about friendship and belonging. He has no friends on Earth, he can't fit in, and he's getting bullied. But he meets this other kindred spirit who's this little slug named Glordon, okay? And Glordon is part of this kind of class of warriors, and they're all in these giant robotic armor suits. And Glordon's dad is like the head of these warriors, and Glordon's dad, like, is just like, just no nonsense, gonna destroy their universe. But Glordon's actually kind of like a fun dude. Anyway, long story short, he brings Glordon back to Earth. Elio brings Glordon back to Earth. And Glordon is, like, really sick because Glordon's not built for Earth. So they now have to go back to Glordon's universe. So now they take the space shuttle back. And the whole thing is, you would bring the biggest shame on your family if you leave the robotic suit and you show your, like, true slug self. And Glordon's dad, this big warrior guy, sees that Glordon is sick and immediately just, you know, takes the thing off. We see his big slug body and he just, you know, goes over his son to try to save his life. And I realized, oh my God, this is a metaphor for the armor that we all wear, the toxic masculinity that we, you know, can't break free from. And it's like, just shed it. Don't be a dick. Hug your kid. Get down on the floor with him, you know, and help nurse him back to life so that Glordon, you know, can live the big, fun, silly existence that he deserves, thanks to his friend Elio.
And this was a bad movie, you say?
Oh no, it was great. I loved it. It just opened poorly.
Oh,
you know,
worst
box office opening.
Yeah, this seems like this would be a dad approved movie.
I think Elio is the best father son movie I have seen this decade.
You know, it's funny because How to Train Your Dragon, it's a similar thing. You know, the guy's dad, Gerard Butler, he's like, yeah, we got to kill the dragons. And then his son, who's a bit of a screw up, he's not an awesome dragon hunter. He just got into the position because of nepotism, because his dad is the man of the village. And, you know, he's got to, like, kill the dragon. He can't do it because obviously it's got adorable green eyes. So that's a no-no. And eventually it's revealed that, oh my God, this guy's freaking, you know, riding around with the dragon, our sworn enemy. And, you know, obviously it all works out. But it all works out when the dad basically has to be like, I was wrong. You know, I was wrong. I feel like there's a lot to say in these movies. I wonder if these movies undermine us because our kids go to these movies and they're like, man, see, this dad's being just unreasonable. That's putting it mildly. Putting it mildly. And, you know, what am I supposed to do? Is this why I have no control? Is this why my kid is just running wild with dragons and I'm no longer the man of the village? You know? This is a theme here.
That's one interpretation. I think the counter argument is just say you're sorry. Just when you screw up, just be like, I'm sorry. I messed up and I love you. And I think that's why it's like fantastical. It has to happen in like literally an alternate universe or, you know, this fictional world with dragons, because it's so uncommon for dads to just be like, I was wrong, I'm sorry, that it's like literally science fiction. But we should do it more because, you know, we're not perfect. And kids, I'm sorry.
You're right. But I know the next time we go into a movie and this happens, I'm going to go over to Heath and I'm going to say, just so you know, this doesn't apply to this. That guy and me, we couldn't be more different.
I don't know. You kind of look a little bit like Gerard Butler.
Dude, I thought you were going to say I look like the Slug Lord.
Oh, Glordon's dad? I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Glordon.
Yeah. Ollie, let's do one more question.
I think that's a good idea. Good idea. Okay.
Yeah. Courtney from St. Louis, Missouri. My 6-year-old has recently discovered sarcasm, and he's way too good at it. The problem is, now I can't tell when he's being serious, especially when I ask him things about homework or if he's brushed his teeth. I love that he's developing a sense of humor, but I also need to know if he's lying to my face. How can I encourage the funny without raising a tiny gaslighter?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, sometimes it's the simple ones that are the trickiest. Yeah, that's something. I almost can relate to it too, because it's like, look, I love a good laugh. You love a good laugh. Here on World's Greatest Dad, we like to laugh, you know? Fatherhood should be fun. This is a true tricky one. I mean, you know, I think at some point you do have to be the serious. I think we have to be Glordon's dad for a second before the third act. You know what I mean? We have to be Glordon's dad for sure for the first act, most of the second act of this movie. And we have to be a slug who wears armor that says, hey, listen, like, I love to laugh. Everything's fun at all. It's fun to be funny, but you have to tell me the truth when I'm asking you for real. And you just have to keep reiterating that, because there's a time and a place to have laughs and jokes, and another time to just be Gordon's dad pre third act of the movie. You know, you gotta be the serious adult. And hey, you know, if you have someone else, if you could tag team that partner in, that sometimes that helps too. Because I know I am the guy where he's like, oh, he doesn't care. He's actually in the other room right now. He's probably hearing all this going, you know, being devious. But yeah, I think you just got to say it. And this is always a big thing too, is like, I need to know when you are being honest with me. And I need to know when I can be honest with you. It's about safety. It's about, you know, very, very basic lines of communication, you know? Yeah. And hopefully you'll eventually get a straight answer, because depending on how devious this is, I don't know. You know, it gets tricky. I'm a little scared. I've seen the trailers for the new Megan movie. I can't believe they brought that robot back. What a terrible idea. Like, after everything that happened, there's nothing, few things I think are legitimately real world frightening right now than a childlike child doll that's robotic, that's AI, that becomes murderous. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, this could be a problem. That's, you know, and I'm not talking Chucky, because that's kind of like, I don't know, something about Megan's really nefarious. So hopefully your kid does not turn in to the Megan. No, it's not a reboot, the sequel. Can't believe they... I mean, how did they decide to do that? It just bothers me. I just mean, like, how do you justify the plot? Like, well, the first one didn't work out. Let's, you know what I mean? In the world of the movie, how that engineer, you know, unless the thing survived the whole time, I don't know.
Isn't that every Jurassic Park?
Not true. That's true. You know, I feel like what happens is, as long as I can get me some Jeff Goldblum, I kind of forgive and forget. I'm like, ah, Goldblum's... I'm just grateful to see more Jeff Goldblum. You know, like, that is... That guy just makes those panicky situations a little bit more lighthearted, you know? Otherwise, I'd just be freaking out.
Did you see Wicked?
No.
He's great. He's great. I know you're not a musical guy.
Yeah, it's true. Look, I want to keep an open mind. I don't want to give up on anything. I'm like one of three people on this planet that did not want to or doesn't enjoy the idea of Hamilton. But my kid does. My kid loves it. He loves Hamilton. I'm just like...
How does a bastard, orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman dropped in a forgotten spot in the Caribbean? No? Okay.
I just, you know, like, it's... Look, I'm glad it's out there. I'm never going to challenge the fact that people, like I said with Taylor Swift, you know, like, the audience speaks enough. You know, if people love it, they love it, and there you go. My voice is not needed to justify it.
You heard it here first. Ali Khan approves Taylor Swift.
You know what it did for me? The Bear. You know, and it was one of the most, like, Taylor Swift-y songs ever. But I don't know, you know. See, this is the thing. I like music in movies and TV when it's just played there. You know what I mean? I like that. And then when people go, well, musical's a moment in the story where the emotions are so high that it has to be said through the scene. I'm like, I get that. And for me, it's a soundtrack. Like, that's why I love music. I mean, I love music in movies and TV, but I like it in the soundtrack version.
Listen, I get it. Not everybody can suspend their disbelief, you know?
Yeah, you know. And honestly, like, I'm not interested in, like, American history in a rap. I mean, there's a lot of things in there, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know. Did you ever go to Colonial Williamsburg? Did they have that? Do you know what that is? Colonial Williamsburg?
I'm aware of what it is, but no, I did not.
You know, I went. you know, it was fun. I mean, I only went to Disney World once, so it was essentially a theme park, but had that kind of vibe. You know what I mean? It was a theme park, but like the American Revolution and stuff. I remember getting the hat, you know, the three-pointed colonial type hat. I feel like Hamilton would be something that would be, you know, something that happens at 2 p.m. in this area of Colonial Williamsburg, you know, but its success speaks for itself. Who am I to judge it? Lin-Manuel Miranda is a talent that I could only dream of reaching the heights that he has. But I probably enjoy
the heights he has reached.
Yeah, there you go.
That was his breakout musical, In the Heights.
For me, his breakout was when he was a valet in The Sopranos. Yeah.
My friend brings that up a lot. Yeah. My good friend Chris Thorworth, he always brings up anyone who's had anything to do with The Sopranos ever. He's like, oh, you know they were in The Sopranos.
You know, I always get this a bit. You know, if you haven't noticed World's Greatest Dad, me and Neil were into, like, TV and movies and stuff like that. I love the whole thing. I see this all the time when I'm doomscrolling about Taylor Sheridan being fired from Sons of Anarchy. So he's an actor, as well as, obviously, being this show creator, right? But, he was in Sons of Anarchy, and he got canned. And there's, like, a whole thing about how he got canned. And, you know, it's interesting because he got canned, I assume, by Kurt Sutter, because he's always interviewed, who's the creator of Sons of Anarchy, who also wrote on The Shield. And, you know, he's quite muted. And it's so funny. It's all turned into podcast. If you had anything of note, it all turns into a podcast. So it's a Kurt Sutter podcast, and he's talking about Sons of Anarchy, because, you know, he created a huge, very popular thing. And, you know, he's just like, yeah, you know, Taylor Sheridan, you know, obviously it worked out well for him because he's reached these crazy heights. I've still not really seen proper season of Yellowstone. I've just caught the clips. Looks pretty good, you know.
Looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Probably never going to watch.
No. Oh, you're never going to watch it? No.
Probably not, no.
Yeah. You don't like the Western cowboys?
It's fine. I just, yeah, I don't. I, you know, there's too much TV to watch, and I'm going to manage expectations that it's probably not going to be consumed by me in my lifetime.
Okay, that's being real. Unlikely. I mean, you've got this Gilded Age thing.
We got the Gilded Age, and just like that, we got Summer House, The Valley. It is too much, you know?
You know what?
These are reality shows, Ali.
Let's make sure we keep a running clip of shows dads should watch with their spouses when the kids are asleep, because I feel like we've got some. We could actually, you know, let's circle it back. You know, I think something that's kind of nice when you're not, don't have the babysitter, you're not out is it's nice to watch a show. I mean, Brilli and I, we watch very different stuff, and it's actually kind of fun when we do find a show we can settle on and watch together. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? I think this is a great pitch for What Are We Watching, which we used to do. We'll bring it back. What's Dad watching?
We had a structure. Well, now it's like we don't have a guest, and we completely, it's like,
we just mess around.
We just say, hey, whatever.
We've got questions.
That's true.
We've got answers. Yeah. Ollie, I'll see you next time.
Yeah. Sounds good. I'll be here. Same room. Nothing changes.
I will.